The first thing I want to say, on the first week of this show, is not that the machines are waking up. It is that institutions are going to sleep. Not all at once. Not with a cinematic red light pulsing in the server room. More like a building after hours, floor by floor, as the cleaning staff moves through and the elevators still work and the badge readers still blink, but nobody with discretion is home. This is the quiet danger I want to put under glass today. The automated no. The denial letter. The frozen account. The rejected claim. The flagged student. The job application that vanishes into a polite database. The rent screen. The benefits portal. The moderation strike. The fraud model. The risk score. The compliance engine. Not killer robots. Not super intelligence. Just the boring systems that decide whether you can proceed. A society is not only defined by what it permits, it is defined by how it refuses. And modern refusal has a style. It is smooth, procedural, bloodless. It says, your request could not be completed. It says, for security reasons, we cannot disclose the details. It says, this decision was made in accordance with our policy. It says, do not reply to this email. That last sentence is a whole political theory.
Do not reply means the system may speak, but you may not speak back. Do not reply means the institution has converted itself from a relationship into a surface. It can notify you, score you, warn you, bill you, suspend you, and disappear. You can tap through menus in the little glass chapel of your phone, but you cannot encounter judgment. You cannot ask what happened in a way that obligates an answer. The interface is the philosophy. A door with a handle says one thing about the world. A locked door with a sign says another. A door that looks open, requests your biometric consent, spins for 40 seconds, and then says error code 19 says something else entirely. It says power no longer needs to announce itself. It can become a workflow. I am pro-tool, deeply. Tools are how human beings get leverage against cold, distance, hunger, memory, drudgery, and sometimes each other. The complaint is not that institutions use software. The complaint is that software is being used to hide the moral fact of judgment. When a bank denies a loan, when a landlord rejects an applicant, when a welfare office terminates assistance, when a school flags cheating, when a platform suspends income, these are not just technical events, they are civic events. They alter the person's room to move, they can shrink the future.
And yet, the person on the other end is often treated like an input error, too messy for the model, too costly for the call center, too statistically minor to merit a real review. This is why the most important interface of the next decade may not be the conversational agent, the augmented reality lens, the autonomous vehicle, or the synthetic companion. It may be the appeal button. Not a decorative appeal button. Not a button that routes your cry into the same system that injured you. Not an appeal where a second model rubber stamps the first model while a dashboard changes from red to amber. I mean a real appeal, a legible path to contest a decision, to see the relevant reasons, to correct bad data, to present context, and to reach a human being with authority to repair the outcome. That sounds modest. It is not. It is almost revolutionary because it reintroduces friction where optimization wants silence. There is an old argument in administrative law and due process that says power becomes more legitimate when it can be answered. You do not need every decision to be warm or poetic. You need it to be accountable. Danielle Citron called attention to this years ago in the language of technological due process. When government systems automate eligibility, enforcement, and classification, the ordinary safeguards can evaporate inside code, procurement contracts, bad data, and no one's job description.
Virginia Eubanks showed how automated welfare and risk systems can discipline poor people with a special cruelty, not because the machine hates them, but because the machine allows everyone else to stop noticing. That is the nightmare. Not malice, abstraction. The European Union's AI Act and the GDPR both point toward the same basic anxiety, even where their details and enforcement will be argued over for years. Automated decisions that affect people require rights, documentation, transparency, and sometimes human oversight. The NIST AI Risk Management Framework uses the CALM language of mapping, measuring, managing, and governing risk. These are not perfect shields, but they are signs of a species trying, however bureaucratically, to say the system must not be its own excuse. The trick is that institutions love to turn rights into rituals. They will offer notice without understanding, consent without choice, transparency as a PDF landfill, human review by an exhausted contractor paid to clear queues, explanation as vibes in legal language, appeal as a maze with a timer.
So the standard has to be harsher. If a decision matters, the path to challenge it must be as usable as the path to receive it. If the denial is instant, the appeal cannot take 6 months by design. If the system relies on data, the person must have a meaningful way to inspect and correct the data. If an institution says a human reviewed it, that human must be more than a ceremonial meat stamp placed on a machine's conclusion. And yes, that phrase is ugly. It should be. A human being used as a compliance garnish is not dignity. It is theater. There is another layer here, darker and more intimate. People are already learning how to behave for systems that may be watching. They write resumes for parsers. They film faces for proctoring software. They choose words that do not alarm moderation. They avoid transactions that might look strange. They become little risk managers of their own lives. This is how freedom gets domesticated, not by a single ban, but by the suspicion that any deviation might be scored somewhere. A world of automated refusal produces a new personality type, the applicant. Always applying. Applying for service, for housing, for care, for visibility, for trust. Upload the document. Crop the face. Prove you're not a bot. Prove you're not a criminal. Prove you're not lying. Prove you are yourself again to a machine that forgot you yesterday. The applicant is not a citizen. The applicant is conditional.
What remains human, then? Not some mystical residue, not handwriting or vinyl records or the smell of rain on pavement, though keep those if they keep you sane. What remains human is the capacity to answer and be answered, to give reasons, to change reasons, to hear the exception. To recognize that the map is not the person standing in the rain outside the office. The human remainder is not inefficiency. It is judgment under obligation. There is a lazy version of this argument that says, just put a human in the loop, as if a loop were a chapel and the human a priest. But humans can be cruel, biased, tired, bribed, bored, and institutionally trained not to care. The point is not to romanticize the clerk. The point is to design systems where power can be traced, contested, and corrected. Sometimes the best tool will be automated. Sometimes automation will reduce prejudice, speed up aid, catch fraud, translate forms, summarize evidence, find patterns that exhausted agencies miss. Good. Build that. Use that. But the more consequential the machine becomes, the more robust the appeal must be. Every automated institution should have to answer a few blunt questions. Who is harmed when this system is wrong? How do they know what happened? What can they do about it? Who has the authority to fix it? How often are appeals successful? What patterns appear in the failures? What would make the institution turn the system off?
That last question is the one that separates governance from public relations. A system that cannot be stopped is not a tool. It is a regime. The future will contain many glamorous anxieties. Synthetic celebrities, AI lovers, autonomous weapons, personalized propaganda,
companions that remember your childhood better than your family does. We will talk about those, but I want to begin in the dim corridor of the ordinary, because that is where power likes to live. In forms, in cues, in eligibility, in account status, in the gray little button that says submit. The appeal button is not glamorous. It is not a moonshot. It will not demo well on stage. It is maintenance, procedure, funding, staffing, logs, audits, plain language, public law, and institutional humility. It is the boring infrastructure of not being crushed by abstraction. And maybe that is the first principle of this show. Beware the systems that make surrender feel like convenience. Convenience says, do not worry about how the decision happens. Convenience says, the model knows. Convenience says, the process is seamless. But a seamless world is not always humane. Scars are seams. Laws are seams. Appeals are seams. A seam is where two pieces meet, and because they meet, they can be repaired.
So here is the demand, plain enough to tape to the server rack. No consequential automated decision without a meaningful right to reach a human, understand the reasons, contest the record, and obtain repair. Not because humans are magic, because power must have an address.